Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Powered by the Tennessee Lottery. I'm going to talk a little Tennessee and Florida now with Tate Casey, University of Florida sideline reporter, former tight end, played baseball, also the host of Believe in Florida Football on the Believe Podcast Network. Tate, great to have you with us, man.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
So I'm reading about you, and I kept thinking, okay, I know that name because I remember you playing. You're the guy that caught the jump pass from Tebow, right?
Yeah, the original.
How long did it look like that thing was in the air? Because I'm going to say, from my vantage point, like 33 seconds or so.
About 4 hours.
How often did you guys work on that play?
You know, it's funny. We worked on that for about 3 weeks before we actually used it. And I think it was one of those plays that you want to rep it and make sure that no matter when you call it, you've got it. And, you know, it just seemed like the right timing in a big game atmosphere. And we really needed that score before half against LSU in 06. And turned out to be a good turning point in the game and a pretty pivotal moment in the season. So, hey, just a cool moment.
Florida beats Tennessee. That's what they do. I mean, you know all about it. You played in the series, 13 out of 14. How confident is this group this week?
I mean, I think Florida seems extremely confident that they go in and win this game. And, you know, that's kind of what your mentality should be week to week anyway. You know, I'd imagine if you ask anybody from Tennessee on that football team, they've got as good a confidence that they're going to come in the swamp and win that game as well. So, you know, there's good blood in this rivalry. Well, like I said, on the team. You'd have a hard time finding somebody that's playing on a team that would tell you they got a chance to come win the game.
Yeah. That Kentucky game, so strange. Number one, thoughts and prayers out to Felipe Franks and his family. How's he doing?
I think he's doing good. You know, Coach Mullen in his presser this week said that he came into meetings even though they told him, like, stay home, get some rest. And, you know, I think right now he's probably still absorbing quite a bit and trying to process it all. Because with a situation like that, when you're out for the year, you know, I found that out in 07 where you don't really know what to do, especially if you're one of those guys kind of like Felipe. You've been playing every age level you've been at, you've probably been the guy. And to finally be at that point in your career where you've got to sit back and watch from the sidelines, it hits you, you know, at different times. And it's hard to process, but I imagine that he's going to be a leader like he always is and show up and do whatever he can to help this team win games.
Listen, Kyle Trask came in and he was slinging it. I don't need to tell you that. But from a Tennessee perspective, just watching their defense this year, I actually think that Emory Jones packages could give them maybe more trouble.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I can tell you right now, Dan's going to find some way to implement Emory Jones in this offense going forward.
Yeah.
You know, obviously don't know what that's going to be yet, but don't be surprised to see quite a bit of Emory Jones as the season progresses. And, you know, he's a young guy, but he's got a lot of different attributes that are, you know, different from Kyle Trask. You know, I think when you look at the two, they both do some things really well. If you watch him in practice with, you know, Emory runs the ball and he's like a flash. Kyle Trask is not going to wow you with the spin moves and the jukes, but, you know, he's going to get the football out and he's going to make quick decisions with the football and throwing the ball. And Emory can throw the ball as well. It's just, I think he's from a process. He hadn't been in the system as long or in college as long to understand how to be a student of the game. And I think that you're going to see Dan Mullen really try and find out what strength he can pull on from each one of them.
Do you think this turns into that deal like when you were in school where there's some Chris Leak and there's some Tim Tebow and Chris Leak is the starter, but you know Tebow's going to get his plays? Do you think it's a clear-cut thing like that?
I think it'll be similar to the certain extent, like you mentioned, that you know, Emory's going to have his package and you'll see some package play, at least to start. I got to imagine that Dan's going to roll pretty heavy with Kyle Trask as his reliant QB right now until something tells him otherwise. And then you're going to see quite a bit of, you know, of Emory coming in and in certain situational plays. I wouldn't be surprised to see Dan Mullen run some tempo offense around Emory Jones if he gets a couple plays in there and they get on a roll. You know, right now I wouldn't put anything past Dan Mullen. You know, he's going to do whatever he's got to do to put the best game plan out there to win games. And if that takes running them 30 plays each, you know, he'll run them 30 plays each. I don't think it scares him to run a two-quarterback system.
Tate Casey with us, sideline reporter for the Gator Radio Network. Tate, obviously coming into the season, one of the big question marks for Florida was the offensive line. Watching the Kentucky game, they really struggled in the run game. 26 carries, 62 yards before the last play. Josh Hammond goes 76 yards for the touchdown. What's going on there? Could that be something that Tennessee and Florida fans certainly pay attention to in this one?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's hard not to pay attention to it as much as people are talking about it. But, you know, you've got a young offensive line that hadn't played too many snaps together before this season. I think the biggest thing that I see when I'm breaking down film and watching from the sidelines is our biggest thing is technique. It's just coming around the edge and pulling guards and tackles and getting vertical so that they can make blocks square up on a defender, as opposed to just almost lackadaisical at times, getting up to that second level. And, you know, if you're going to run a gap offense and get pullers up on a second level and open up those lanes, the one thing you got to do is have a sense of urgency. And the second thing you got to do is be very technique sound, and you've got to play fundamentally. So I think, you know, I can imagine being a guy who's played under him, John Hevesy is harping on that week to week. And, you know, we saw a little bit of offensive line adjustment in the third quarter last week, and I wouldn't put it past Hevesy to do it again if he has to. You know, we moved Stone Forsythe over to right tackle and then brought in Garage and put him at left tackle. And it seemed that the momentum changed a little bit on that offensive line. But the one thing I'll tell you is they've done a good job of protecting the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And now I think when people talked about the offensive line the first part of the season, that's what they were worried about, was taking sacks and, you know, forcing turnovers through passing with pressure on the quarterback. And that hasn't been the problem so far. And Dan Mullen's going to continue to get that run game right as much as he can, but he's not going to rely on it, whereas last year we relied on the run game heavy because he tried to take some pressure off Felipe Franks and his arm. And then I don't think the receivers were where they needed to be last year, so we had to rely on that. This year you've got some competent receivers. You've got about four or five of them that catch the football, and they can make some moves and you know, at any given time pop a big play game. So I think if Dan Mullen has to resort to the pass this year, I think he feels more comfortable doing that.
Tate Casey, our guest. On the way out, you played for Urban Meyer. Obviously, he left Florida. He resurfaced at Ohio State. You know, we kind of always have some fun. You know, we're making him the USC AD one day, and we're making him the head coach the next. We're making him both the next. What do you think's in that guy's future? You played for him.
You know, I don't know. I think that I've seen him twice this year, and he seems completely happy where he's at and what he's doing. I'll tell you one thing, when I get a chance to watch him break down, you know, film and talk on Saturdays, which is a rare opportunity for me unless I'm at the stadium early, I love watching him talk football. He's a smart mind. He's obviously a great coach. But if it was me, I know what my decision would be. I mean, he's got years in. He's pretty much got enough money in the bank to last him a lifetime. If I was him, I'd be doing exactly what he's doing right now.
Yeah, that TV gig's pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, he's opening up a restaurant. He's got about as cush a gig as you could ask. But you know how coaches are. You know, sometimes that itch to get back around ball and be around players and great coaching minds and develop coaches. That's something that I'm sure tugs at him every once in a while. Oh, yeah. So
99 problems, and that itch is one.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Wherever he goes, there's two things I can guarantee you. One, he's gonna work until he's the best. And two, he's not gonna lose a rival game. And if he does, it's not gonna be very often. So that's like the one thing that he guaranteed us as players. If you put the work in and you know, you do what the plan to win tells you, we're gonna win a lot of rival games. And I think his record speaks to that.
Good stuff, Tate, man. Appreciate you. It should be a fun one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We got to get this East rivalry back on track, man.
No doubt. Tate Casey, Florida sideline reporter at TateCasey84 on Twitter. Thanks for the time today. Appreciate it so much.
Guys, appreciate y'all having me. We'll look forward to Saturday.
Yes, right. Sir.